That's what made us the greatest nation this world has known. We must resurrect that spirit to preserve liberty for ourselves and our posterity. This is Revolution's Revival. And now, your host, the cigar-smoking, politically incorrect patriot of the hour, Caleb Shoemate.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Revolution's Revival. My name's Caleb Shoemate and I'm your host. Today I want to talk to you about what is arguably, I don't even think it's arguable, the worst gun control act in American history. I'm talking about H.R. 127. Otherwise known as the Sabika Shik, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, Firearm Act. This act, which was introduced by Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, would effectively set up a national gun registration system like what they have in Australia. And anybody that knows anything about firearms knows that a national registration system is the first step to gun confiscation. As I said just a minute ago, that's exactly what they did in Australia. This angers me to no end. This is an assault on liberty of all Americans. And this lady doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground. This is the same woman, mind you, that she spoke back in 2019 and said that an AR shot a 50 caliber bullet and weighed as much as 10 moving boxes. Matter of fact, just let me play that audio for you so I can remind you of what this woman said. What kind of bull crap is that? She outright lied, and she's been at this for quite some time. Like I said, this was back in 2019. Anybody that knows anything about an AR or firearms in general knows that the highest caliber bullet an AR can fire is a .308. And it certainly does not weigh as much as 10 moving boxes. Those things are light. But this bill, were it to pass, would effectively destroy an individual's right to possess a firearm. Anything above a 5-round magazine, you can kiss that goodbye. Any attachments, kiss that goodbye. They even have you register Grandpa's shotgun. There is a section in that bill that refers to antique firearms. Hell, I've got 2 flintlock pistols hanging on my wall in my bedroom that were given to me by a very close family friend, a man I consider like a brother. Would they have me register those? Well, under that Firearm Protections Act, probably so, because there's nothing blocking the barrel. To my knowledge, I could shoot those. But they would have me register founding era technology. It angers me. Because as a man born with cerebral palsy, this is a direct affront, a direct assault on my individual right to protect myself. I have an article that I wrote back in 2019 that I want to read to you that will dive further into an aspect of gun rights and gun control that I don't think is addressed enough. And this bill really deals with a lot of that. It would make it effectively impossible for me to defend myself. I want to read you that article, and then I want to discuss it. It's entitled, "Colt Made Me Equal, a disabled libertarian's case for gun ownership. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right and the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. These words have been hotly debated in the modern era. Many people insist the words of the Second Amendment do not protect an individual's right to bear arms, and instead that it applies only to some military body. Others say the Second Amendment protects an individual's right to self-preservation and serves as a last line of defense against a tyrannical government. However, if someone cares to examine the words of America's founding fathers and the thinkers that influenced them, they would soon discover that only the latter can be true. This must be true if we are to preserve all other human liberties. I have always been a strong advocate for gun rights. Because of my disability, I realize probably better than most that individual firearm ownership is foundational to self-preservation and the protection of private property. Given my position in life, I understand just how precious and necessary gun ownership is. Let's face facts. Despite being strong in my upper body, my cerebral palsy puts me at a natural disadvantage when it comes to defending my right to exist from those who seek to rob me of it. There are those who might have gotten this far and think I'm paranoid and delusional for believing that someone would wish to end my life merely because I'm disabled. However, the war against the disabled person's right to live is genuine, although it receives very little press worldwide. Just take a look at a Japanese man by the name of Satoshi Yumitsu. He entered a faculty for the disabled in 2016 and proceeded to kill 19 people and injure 25 during a knife attack, which The Independent reported as being the deadliest attack on Japanese soil since World War II. My goal is a world in which, in cases where it is difficult for the severely disabled to live at home and be socially active, they can be euthanized with the consent of their guardians, he wrote, according to Japanese broadcaster NTV. This is just one example of one highly motivated individual bent on unleashing tyranny on handicapped people. But we can see so many examples of eugenics being carried out against people with disabilities in both the United States and Europe. It is no secret that the Nazis had many groups of people they deemed unfit to live. The handicapped were one of those deplorable people groups that Hitler sought to exterminate. According to the Jewish Virtual Library, the Nazis killed anywhere from 200,000 to 250,000 physically and mentally handicapped individuals under the T4 and other eugenics programs from 1939 to 1945. Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, was a notorious eugenicist who quite openly talked about her desire to kill people with disabilities to avoid burdening the country with their maintenance. It is for this reason that the Second Amendment has always been so near and dear to me. Individual firearm ownership, such as the Founding Fathers originally intended, is key to my self-preservation. Don't believe the founders of the American Republic intended for every American to be free to own firearms without restriction? Read the words of George Mason at Virginia's convention in 1788 to ratify the federal constitution. No man has greater regard for the military gentlemen than I have. I admire their intrepidity, their perseverance, and valor. But when once a standing army is established in any country, the people lose their liberty. When against a regular and disciplined army, ye yeomanry are the only defense. Ye yeomanry, what chances are there for preserving freedom? Give me leave to recur the page of history to warn you of your present danger. Recollect the history of most nations of the world. What havoc, desolation, and destruction have been perpetrated by standing armies. An instance within the memory of some of this house will show us how our militia may be destroyed. 40 years ago, when the resolution of enslaving America was formed in Great Britain, the British Parliament was advised by an artful man, Sir William Keith, who was governor of Pennsylvania, to disarm the people. That is the best and most effectual way to enslave them, but that they should not do it openly and let them sink gradually by totally defusing and neglecting the militia. This was a most antiquitous project. Why should we not provide against the danger of having our militia and our natural strength destroyed? The Founding Fathers had incredibly radical views on gun ownership by today's standards. They knew without an unrestrained private ownership of firearms, a tyrannical government could easily trample on the liberty of the citizens of the newly formed republic. I, like the founders of this great country, understand that every gun law is an infringement on my right to defend myself. I will fight for the restoration of the Second Amendment's original intent because it quite literally preserves my life and liberty. The gun is my equalizer when it comes to self-defense. It makes me equal to otherwise able-bodied men. I am living proof of the oft-quoted words that God made all men, but Samuel Colt made them equal. Again, the name of that article is Colt Made Me Equal, A Disabled Libertarian's Case for Gun Ownership. And you can find that at the Libertarian Republic. I will also post it in the show notes for those who are interested. Everything in this bill affects me directly. It will affect every single American. And gun control, not only is it racist, but it is highly discriminatory against the disabled. What happens if this were to pass? I'm utterly defenseless. Let's face facts, as I wrote in the article, I can't fight off an attacker, physically. But you know what? That gun is my equalizer. That gun is my safety. So you'll pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm a little bit more than pissed off by Representative Sheila Jackson's proposed bill that's nothing but a crock of horse shit. I have a right to live, just the same as every single American citizen has a right to live. Every citizen of this planet has a right to live and to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. Guns are an integral part of making sure that your life, your liberty, and your property are protected. Now, if you don't want to use a gun, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not advocating that anyone who it violates their conscience to use a gun owns a gun. If you don't want one, fine. But do not prevent me from owning a firearm when it's my natural right to do so. Do not prevent the American people from keeping and bearing arms in any manner that they choose. I will not register my guns. I implore the American people, please stand up against this. For far too long have we allowed this crap to take place. Just as I read to you a few minutes ago, what George Mason said, how do you disarm the militia? Gradually. You think about all the gun legislation that has been passed over the past several decades. Really long before I was alive. I'm only 28. But what have they done? They've chipped away at it gradually. Just a little bit here and a little bit there. We'll pass that you have to have a permit. We'll pass that you have to go through background checks. Now what are they doing? In 2021, the mask is coming off and they're seeking to establish a federal registry of firearms that would require you to register your serial number, when you bought it, and everything about how you store it. The idea that this bill is even being proposed is a monstrosity, and it is anti-American. It's anti-liberty, and it disgusts me. It disgusts me to my very core to think about what I would argue is one of the chief liberties, because you use it to preserve, to make sure that all your other liberties are preserved. If it wasn't clear before, it should be very clear now. They want to effectively disarm the American people. Your elected representatives want to disarm you. Why? So they can control you, because they know that a people who are disarmed are very easy to control. And you know what? It's not just Democrats. It's Republicans too. I mean, you can take a look at what Dan Crenshaw proposed with the red flag bill. It's a monstrosity. And I'm tired of it. I implore you, please, 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 write your representatives. Give them calls. Let them know that this bill is a crock of horse crap and that you won't stand for it. It breaks my heart that it's even come to this point. But why are we surprised? Anyone who's studied history shouldn't be surprised at all. It's a long train of abuses, my friends. Where does the buck stop? I say it stops here. I will not allow this to happen under my watch. If we lose the Second Amendment, we can kiss the rest of our liberties that we've historically enjoyed goodbye. It breaks my heart that I even have to talk to you about this today, but it is of grave, grave importance. I care about what this nation is historically supposed to represent. I care about individual liberty. That's why I'm talking to you about this today. I urge you to share this episode with your friends. Perhaps it will provide a little bit of perspective that people don't think about all the time. How it affects even society's most vulnerable, and arguably affects them worse. I'll tell you, friends, the Second Amendment was put into place so that if things got bad enough, that we would have the ability to rebel against a tyrannical government. To keep them in check. To let them know that they work for us, not the other way around. We were not meant to live as serfs. We were born to be free, and the Second Amendment was put in the Constitution to ensure that our rights are protected so that we could remain free. I also want to tell you this. Your right to own a firearm pre-exists the Constitution. I always tell people, I've gotten away from using the term constitutional right. Because you know what? Your rights pre-exist the Constitution. The only reason that we even have a Constitution is to protect individual rights. To protect individual liberty. Your individual liberty, I'm sorry if this is a newsflash to you, but perhaps it'll help to wake you up. Your individual liberty pre-exists government. That includes your right to defend yourself with whatever means you deem necessary. That includes firearms. All that pre-exists government. Thomas Jefferson made it clear, you're endowed by your Creator with a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those rights come to you from God. And if you don't believe in God, it doesn't matter. They come from your humanity. It doesn't take away the fact that those rights exist. And they predate all mankind. But I'm telling you, if this bill is allowed to become law, you can bet you will start to see gun confiscation. And I want to speak directly to police officers and the military. This is why I have always been skeptical of you. You took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. LEOs, servicemen and women. Will you uphold the Constitution and refuse to carry out the gun confiscation that I know will come? I know it will come if this bill is allowed to become law. Will you refuse? Will you stand with the American people? Because if you do not stand with the American people, you are our enemy. I want to draw a line in the sand right now. Let it be known. If you do not stand with the American people, you are our enemy and you will be opposed. I pray that it doesn't come to violence. I'm not a violent man. I am a man of peace. And I am begging you. I'm begging our elected officials, please give us peace. Please. We don't want war. I'm not an advocate for war. But if war must come, if it's in the name of the defense of liberty, let it happen today so that it doesn't happen in my children's generation when I have them, or my grandchildren's. Let it start here. Perhaps it's time for a new revolution. As I said, this is why I chose to name the name of my show, Revolutions Revival. Revolutions do not have to be violent. But sometimes I question, is violence the only option left? I don't think so, not necessarily. But if we keep going down this road, it's going to get damn close to that. And that scares me. I want to speak directly to the gun owner. There's a joke that has been going around online for a long time. That people say, well, if they come to confiscate your guns, that's when I've lost my guns in an unfortunate boating accident. It's not funny. It never has been funny. And I will tell you that if they come to your door asking for your guns, where are your guns? That's when you need to use them. That is when it's acceptable. It scares me to think that we're even this close to that point. And don't misunderstand me, I'm not advocating for violence at all. I am a man of peace. But there are times when I believe that violence is justified. Just the same as it was in the American Revolution. Let me remind you of history. When they were coming at Lexington and Concord, you know why those battles started? Because they were coming to confiscate guns. It broke the Founding Fathers' hearts to separate from England. At the beginning of the American Revolution, they still considered themselves British citizens. All they wanted is for the British government to recognize their inalienable rights. And they pleaded with the king. They begged the king, please recognize our rights. We don't want war. But you know what? The king ignored them. The king continued to abuse them and abuse their liberties and to trample on their rights that were given to them by their creator. And they said, you know what? We have no choice. And so they came for the guns. And if you don't believe me, look up the history. They came for the guns. And Paul Revere warned them. That famous line that we're all taught in school. The British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming. They're coming to take your guns. And so we all lined up. The militia, which mind you, were not trained soldiers. They were individuals. They were men just like you and I, the people listening to this podcast, individual people with firearms. And they stood and they said, no, no more. You will not take my guns away. And that is why it came to bloodshed. It scares me to think that we're even closer to that point, perhaps, than I ever thought we ever would be. I hope that it doesn't come. But I want to urge every single one of you who can listen to my voice right now. Be prepared for the worst. Pray for the best and prepare for the worst. I'll post the link to that bill in the show notes. I'll post all the articles and everything I mentioned in the show notes. Until next time, pray for America, if you're a man of faith. Pray for America, pray for each other, love one another, and resist tyranny always. Until next time, this has been another episode of Revolution Revival. I'm your host, Caleb Shoemate, and I will see you guys in the next episode. God bless.